and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And we're joined today by very special guest star.
Yes, I'm Edward Turbo Hayes. I was part of Rambo's Freedom Force back in the mid-80s. And I was hoping you guys might have a chance to catch up with him. We haven't heard much from him since we had our last mission with Savage, the Specialist Administrations of Vengeance, Anarchy, and Global Extinction back in 1986. Do you guys have any throughway to John? Can I connect to him through
that
you?
That might be the deepest cut we've ever had. Oh my Thank God.
Thank you. Thank you. I was gone deep drilling for that one.
Wow. It's funny. And this is a favorite piece of trivia of mine. I got this thing. G.I. Joe is a very popular comic series for Marvel Comics. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it originated as a Marvel comic, but that's a much longer story to get into. But Marvel Comics was always, you know, integral to the development of G.I. Joe, the series. Sure. And what's fascinating is they licensed every now and then real life people like Sergeant Slaughter to join G.I. Joe.
Okay.
And yeah. So they paid, they entered a negotiation, they were figuring out a price to add Rocky Balboa to G.I. Joe.
Really?
Yes. Huh. To the point where there is a Marvel comic called G.I. Joe Order of Battle, which is just a 32-page comic with expanded bios. Like, on the back of every, you know, box is a little character bio. These are just expanded bios and a piece of art of the character. And the one where Rocky Balboa was part of G.I. Joe came out. That's how far the deal got. But between that comic book coming out and when the big announcement was supposed to be, the deal fell through because they were doing the Rambo cartoon and toy line, and they thought it would create market confusion, so Sylvester Stallone's people backed out. And so in the next issue of Order of Battle, they had to say that it was a misprint. Rocky Balboa has no association with G.I. Joe. It's not a misprint. You know,
yeah, like, exactly. There's no misprint.
It's not an accident. The deal changed. It's fine. But yeah.
You mean John Rambo, not Rocky?
No, I mean Rocky. They
the
just thought it
Rocky.
Would. They thought it
Why would
create
Rocky
brand...
be a G.I. Joe?
It's
it would
that
be
very,
Christian.
No,
that
I agree
so
with you.
Much, but that would be so much more believable crossover. And I don't mean from sense of the world that it inhabits, yeah. But I mean the fact that it was rated PG, that it was more. Like, it still astounds me to this day that you took a film that had the carnage of First Blood Part 2, and then that became the genesis of a children's television show.
I know.
It still amazes me to this day that actually existed, and not only existed, but for like 60-some-odd episodes.
Yep.
I mean, it was not a flash in the pan. It was
no,
not something
it did
that...
two syndicated seasons.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah, yeah you're totally it's insane. Right. All right, so let's get to random crap. I have a TV recommendation for everyone who wants to just have their weekend ruined.
Oh, no.
You can't ruin mine. We have impeachment on the table. Bring it on, brother. Okay. Bring it on.
Just came to Netflix last week or the week before. It's called Unbelievable, and it's this story about the hunt for a serial rapist. And it's, in addition to the cops searching for the serial rapist, it's an indictment of how cops treat rape cases, because most of the story is set in 2011, 2012, but the start of it, and we get flashbacks to this woman in 2009 who's sexually assaulted by this guy, and the cops don't believe her and don't start looking for this guy, allowing him to get sick. I mean, it was his first attack, and he gets five other victims. Because the cops didn't bother investigating, because they just decided they didn't believe this woman, because they just, we don't believe her affect, and that's it. And it's this amazing story, beautifully acted, really well done, just amazingly produced. And the, I had read back, you know, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, something like that, when the news story about this came out, there was one of those giant, maybe New York Times, maybe Atlantic, stories about this whole case. It won a Pulitzer Prize, and now it's a TV show, and the TV show is great. So check it out. Unbelievable on Netflix. It's just 8 episodes, but it will ruin your weekend.
Oh, God.
That's basically how I felt after I finished watching it. So I'm agreeing with you on that one. Next up, Rob, you saw a hot new movie?
I did see a hot new movie, and it will not ruin your weekend. But it does deal with daddy issues, but it's got a lot more on its mind than that. I saw Ad Astra, the acclaimed space epic, but it's more meditative and more measured than, it's more akin to like Solaris than it is Alien or something akin to that. Brad Pitt is a young astronaut, well, not a young astronaut, an astronaut who goes to space because his father is rumored to still be alive, who went missing on a previous mission in order to see if there was life in Neptune set in the future. It's directed by, I think it's James Gray. I think his first name, I can't remember his first name, but he did one of my a film that I just loved a few years ago called The Lost City of Z.
That's such a good movie. I didn't know it was the same director.
Yeah, he wrote and directed that and this one as well too. And it's very similar in its pacing and its feel to that one. It's very calculated. It's very measured, and it's very kind of Joseph Conrad-esque. A journey into inward as well as upward. So, and it has more to do with that. It almost hits its mark. There are a few faults that I have with it. Nothing that would overpower it. I am so thankful that we have an adult-themed or adult-oriented science fiction film that is original on the screen. So nothing with, men in tights who are battling each other for, universal supremacy or drilling holes in asteroids and shit like that. This is, this is one with a lot.
That's a little drive-by on Armageddon.
That, like, to look up to the stars and not think that, like, Thanos is, like, getting ready to rain down on us or something. It was...
No, I'm more insulted by the dig at Armageddon.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck.
It's such a movie.
It is a movie. It is two and a half hours of one.
Why are you bad at everything, Michael Bay? Speaking of, I also watched a couple of movies. But actually, you know what? Let's do DMs first, because I realize you all might want to weigh in on the second movie I watched.
Okay.
All right, so you go first.
So, because I have a lot of work I need to get done before next Tuesday, I'm doing nothing but watching movies all the time.
Nice. We all respect your priorities. Continue.
Yep.
So I finally got around to seeing The Ruins, which I'd never seen.
Oh, wow.
And it's not great, but I actually did enjoy the idea. I thought it was a cool idea.
Absolutely.
No, I agree with you completely on that one.
Can I have a little sidebar on that one?
Please.
We were in Mexico in May, and I showed that to my children.
No! Why would you do that?
We were getting ready to hike a ruin, and I just wanted to make sure that they stayed close to me.
Oh, my God. Kids, I'm going to take you down to the Caribbean for a nice vacation. Here's this movie, Jaws 4. It's about roaring sharks that explode for no reason. Something we thought you should see.
The other movie I watched was Friend Request.
Which one is Friend Request? Oh, wait, that's that horror movie about ghost Facebook.
I misheard you. I thought you said Frontal Crust. And I'm like, ever want to see that movie ever.
Body horror.
Frontal Crust. Oh, shit.
David Cronenberg's Frontal Crust.
Yeah, exactly.
It was okay.
Okay.
Weird, and then it has a terrible ending that doesn't actually make any sense.
Oh, right? That's always the worst.
Yeah, which sort of ruins the movie, actually.
Oh, it's that bad? Ooh.
It's really bad.
Oh, is that the one that had all, it was done all through like a Skype session?
No.
Oh, no. We've seen that one. Oh, what's that one called?
Unfriended or something?
Yeah, Unfriended.
Yeah, okay. No, this, Unfriended.
This is the one about a ghost who, like...
So this girl friends this other girl on Facebook, and turns out the other girl's, like, this weird, creepy stalker, and then she, like, kills herself in front of her computer, and now there's, like, a ghost in Facebook.
It's Ringu for the
Facebook generation, absolutely.
That's a Facebook ghost, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. That sounds terrible. But so, you had a good time right up until the terrible ending?
I wouldn't say I had a good time. I had a time. And then it got real bad.
Oh,
so.
That sucks.
Yeah. So
oh,
there you
man.
Go.
There you go. All right. I watched two, and I can entirely... I was on vacation last week. That's why we skipped out on a show. I had a great time. I saw Algonquin Park for the millionth time, but honestly, it's always great. And I can't recommend that park highly enough. But we're not here to talk about hiking. We're here to talk about the movies I watched in the hotel when I was, after I hiked.
My God.
And the thing is, they're both recommendations from DM. And the first one was Bumblebee.
I'm a little freaked now.
No, it was Bumblebee, which is great.
Yes.
Guys, it was
such a good movie. And it's like, and I just love how at the end of the film, you're like, we're just going to pretend those Michael Bay movies never happened.
It is heartbreaking to see what could have happened with that franchise.
I know.
Had he never put his dirty, stinking paw prints
all over.
You
could have made this exact, it's just E.T., but with a Transformer.
Sure.
You know? And that's great.
Yep.
That's 100% the movie they should have made in the first place.
Exactly.
And if Michael Bay hadn't gotten his Michael Bay stink all over it, we could have had that movie.
Yes.
12 years ago. Like, there's nothing about this movie that's could only have been made today.
Yep.
Like, this would have been fine 12 years ago, but Michael Bay is such an idiot. You know? Such a psychopath idiot who has no idea anything about humans or how they operate. That he had to make the worst franchise in the world. And then he has Bumblebee.
He's not human.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, he's a psychopath, and I don't think they are fully human. He doesn't understand.
Psychopaths know a lot about how humans operate.
No, they do. Some do, but some of them are completely just bafflingly, I don't understand. And he is a guy who only understands surface interactions as they appear in commercials. Like, that is all he understands. He spent his whole life just watching commercials to understand how humans operated. And that's why he's the best ever at commercials and the worst ever at films.
But you know, he went to, like, New York Film School or something along those lines and was praised by his instructors.
He was.
Yeah.
And then he went and he joined, oh, God, what was the name of that management company? And he just became a puppy dog that followed David Fincher around for 10 years.
Oh, God. Yes.
He's like, I don't understand. Like, how do you make movies, David Fincher? And he could just never understand it. But he sure made some great commercials.
He
definitely made some great commercials. But yeah, it's an amazing movie. And if you haven't seen Bumblebee, you've got to see Bumblebee. Like, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so charming, so sweet. Good action.
I feel like you're overselling it.
No, I'm not. It's so much fun. And it's like, yes, I'm only saying it's a great movie in comparison to the rest of the Transformers movies. But even without that comparison, it's a really good movie that's like a perfect family entertainment. And a wonderful tribute to 80s cinema. So,
yes,
way to go. Really good movie, Bumblebee. And the other movie I watched was Geostorm.
Yes!
Yes!
Oh my God!
Yes. I desperately wanted to talk about it, but now is not the time.
No, now is not the time, but oh my God! How? How is that movie?
Right? I don't understand. There's so much I don't get.
Nothing.
Like the brother's haircut to why there's a gun on the space station.
Why is there a gun on the space station?
I don't understand how this world works.
Why are there a lot of guns on the space station?
Why does it still have that threat? All these years later. Jesus.
Oh my god. No, that is a terrible and fascinating movie all at the same time. Like, I was blown away by Geostorm, especially what I love that I'd chosen to believe that the meta story of Geostorm is that the world is about to be destroyed by global warming. And so Jared Butler assembles all of the world's supervillains and has each of them use their own different kind of death ray machine, but only it's going to attack the weather. They say it attacks weather. I'm like, yeah, but how does it attack weather? And then we find out it has a freeze ray. Like, that's how it that's how it attacks weather. It has a cold ray, and it also is a heat ray. And I'm like, that's what I'm just saying.
Let's make sure that it has a one-way system that anyone can hack and be able to manipulate the entirety of it by just entering, like, one part of this entire, like, space.
Well, no, because what he does is, like, he has to hack the mainframe. This is a 90-era cyber thriller made this year and set in the future.
That's so crazy.
That's what it is.
It totally is. You're completely
they
right.
They give him those, like, those cyber names, too. Leonard Deckham or...
yeah. I know.
And I love a 90s cyber thriller because they age so badly.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
This just, Geostorm is a real head scratcher.
Oh, yeah. Like, how? And what I love about the movie is that Ed Harris, spoiler alert, is the villain. You can tell because it's played by Ed Harris.
Yep.
Like, why is Ed Harris there as the Secretary of State? But anyway, you know he's the bad guy. It's Ed Harris. And what I love about it is, like, he's like, I'm going to use this to blow up the rest of the world except for America to ensure the future of America. And they're like, no, we've got to stop you from doing this. But it's like, by the time they stop it in the movie, like, most of his plan has succeeded.
Yeah. You know,
Dubai, the entire United Arab Emirates was destroyed by a tidal wave. You know, India, there was huge sections of India were wiped out by whirlwinds. Russia, Moscow melted. Like,
Brazil froze.
Like, I don't, the villain kind of won. Yeah, they stopped him and they arrested him and it didn't get worse, but it's really bad. Like, they really kind of failed to save the day.
No.
Although, what I loved, I think my favorite moment in the whole movie was they're like, I feel like there's too much wanton destruction in this film. How can we make it okay? Because at one point, a lady is running away from a cold beam, and then a plane, and she, like, narrowly escapes, and they turn off the cold beam, and a plane falls out of the sky. It just falls out of the sky. Plummets, because it's frozen. And then we hear in a report, a transport plane fell out of the sky over, like, that's the way you're going to make this okay? We just saw 3,000 people turned into icicles.
Right, but this dumb bitch who runs down a fucking dead-end alley, she's okay, so it's fine.
No, she's okay, but it's fine. And, more importantly, no, don't worry about it. The plane was only a transport plane, so don't worry about it. Only eight people died instead of 300. And the 3,000 people down on the beach.
Oh, God.
Such an amazing
Not to mention
movie.
Everyone who was inhabiting the skyscrapers that it seemed to scrape when it was, when the plane was crashing into the city, too.
Well, you know? When China catches fire, there's like that dominoes effect with all the skyscrapers, which I thought was hilarious.
Basically, the entire mainland part of Hong Kong. Like, just all crashes together.
Mainland Hong Kong.
Yeah, Hong Kong isn't... There is.
It's an island.
No, it's not. There's the island part, and then there's the mainland part. Do you not know this?
I don't. I thought it was just an island.
No, there's Hong Kong, and then there's Hong Kong Island. And they're equally... Like, they're all the nation, state, city, you know, protectorate zone. But no, there's the island. There's actually a couple of islands, but there's the big island, and then there's the huge swath... That is the mainland. And there was like a big scandal. Well, not scandal, but a big bit of drama, you know, when they were negotiating the hand back of Hong Kong, where Britain said, maybe we just give you back the mainland part and we keep the island. And it'll be like Taiwan, where it's an island that gets to be its own thing and you just kind of let it be. But yes,
it's just an island.
No,
what
it is
do
not
I know?
Just, It's
clearly nothing.
It's totally fine. But anyway, it's an amazing movie, and it's
probably more
it's,
than Gerard Butler in that movie.
So. Yeah, there you go.
And I want to know. It's like I don't know if somebody's going to write a book or something, but I want to know what the new like 40 minutes of that movie are, because like apparently a huge amount of that movie was reshoots.
Really?
It's like, yeah, they reshot 45 minutes of that movie.
Jesus.
That's why it took 2 years to come out. Mm. And it's like, I thought, can I tell by Gerard Butler's weight? But no, you can't. Yeah. So it's very weird. I want to know what was the reshoots. Did he not originally have a daughter and they added all of that stuff later?
Well, like, that stuff doesn't... It feels weird, though, because you get this voiceover with the daughter, but she's, like, not in the movie.
That's what made me think it. Like, she's barely a character in the movie. And I'm like, was that all an add-on later? And that's why she's barely in the movie? And by the way, his daughter is...
That was all cut out. It could be the other way.
That's true. It could be. Well, no, but I think if she was originally like planned to be in the movie, I think she would have been in danger at the end of the movie. Just logically speaking. He lives in Florida, and the big attacks in Florida. Like, I feel like the mother could have come to pick her up in Florida, and she would have been in peril too. But because you can't go back and reshoot all of the Democratic convention stuff to put the daughter in there, the daughter only appears watching a TV report about how all that stuff is happening. That was my theory.
Yeah.
But you could be right, too. Like, she could have just been completely cut out of the movie.
Yeah.
Although, I guess since it was all the research, we could, maybe because the reshoots were all done so many years later, we could find out by discovering how old that actress is.
Well, no, that wouldn't tell us anything.
Well, no, but I mean, saying if you could look at other jobs she did, and you could find out if she shot those scenes in 2016 or 2018 by her age. If she looks majorly different
I'm not really willing to put
years.
In that much work. Honestly.
I didn't say you should be.
Right.
It does
there
not.
There are easier ways. It. You're right. There are easier
more
ways
than Dean
to find
Devlin put into the filming
poor
of
Dean
that.
Devlin. Oh. You just can't catch. Maybe go back to acting, Dean Devlin.
Mm.
All right, so that it was truly a horrific movie, but it wasn't a horror movie, which makes me wonder, are they still making those? Damn it!
Why would,
no, we have a list time. Oh, damn it! Foiled again!
Yeah.
All right, hit me with the list.
All right, this week's list is the 14 best movie franchise finales and 10 worst.
Wow! Oh my god, I can't wait!
So... this list is from 2012.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Just,
you know, keep that
in
your
totally.
Head when we through this list. These don't appear to be ordered in any particular way.
Okay.
So we're just starting with The Dark Knight Rises. Sorry. The Dark Knight Rises as a best.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Okay.
I adore that movie. Bane is my favorite character ever from cinema. Like, you know, yeah, thumbs up. That's a great movie.
All right, we have best Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Mm.
I don't
really think so.
I disagree with splitting a movie in half.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's
exactly.
So over, yeah. Like, it's so
it was
all
one
drawn
film,
out.
It probably could have been, but yeah.
Mm. But yeah, that film is so poorly paced. As is the first half, so no, that's a weird thing to
that
say.
That book is really long, longer than it needs to be. And so when it's like, you know, it's movie time, it's like, okay, well, you know, they can just cut out a lot of the fat from this book. And then they just did the exact opposite of that. So,
well, no, and the funny part is she reached that, by the time she sat down to write that book, she was already a billionaire. So no one's going to tell her to cut a word out of the book. You know? Yeah, billionaires are generally really, you know, famous for having the great ability to see their flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just no way anyone would have the guts to stand up to her by that point. So I blame the people around her. Like, I blame the people who, you know, who failed to step in when Stephen King wanted to add an extra 500 pages to The Stand. Like, there were people who should have stepped in, and those people didn't, and it's their fault more than it's his.
That's where we are today. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so this is going to be weird. Best, The Bourne Ultimatum.
No.
I think these, like, the Bourne Identity, great movie. Everything
amazing
else.
Amazing movie.
Worse and worse.
Kind of trash, yeah. But yeah,
really hard to follow.
Oh yeah, because they're really, set at the same time.
That's not the end of a franchise, though.
Well, no, but when this was made.
Yeah, because again, just turned 2012.
I got you. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah. Okay. We have best. Come on, Return of the Jedi. I feel you don't need to put it there. We all know.
We get it.
Empire.
No. Movie. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Continue.
Best Army of Darkness.
That is an amazing
movie. Agreed.
Perfect way to wrap it up too. Yeah. Just an amazing movie in every way.
Yep.
Okay. Best Toy Story 3.
Damn, this list is getting, more and more embarrassing with each passing one. Evil Dead has had a TV show and there's been a Toy Story 4, and they're already in pre-production on Toy Story 5. So,
Again, 2012, so.
No, I get it. It was a more innocent time before Disney owned everything.
That was a perfect swan song. There's no doubt about it.
It was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, worst. The Matrix Revolutions.
Aww.
Which I didn't even bother seeing because I hated the second one so much.
Yeah.
You didn't miss anything.
You didn't miss much at all.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, is there even level?
More albino, evil albinos.
I will say this. I enjoyed the spectacle of their giant superhero fight at the end of the movie. But it's like, you can just watch that on YouTube. Just you don't have to wait 3 hours. The end of Revolutions where they have the giant, the giant in space Superman versus Zod fight. And it was like the first true superhero fight we'd ever had in cinema. And just as spectacle, I really liked that. But, I mean, it's not worth watching the movie to get there.
Not at all.
Although, I can't imagine why they released the third one after the architect scene had happened.
Yeah.
Once you see the architect scene in 2, you don't want to watch another movie. You kind of don't ever want to watch any movie again. It's just like, cinema has wasted my life. All right, go.
Best, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Not a trilogy. They're different characters every time.
Yep.
They're thematically linked films, but it's not a series. He's not the man with no name. He has a name in every movie. You just weren't paying attention. So yeah, they're not the same character. For the love of God, Lee Van Cleef.
With the Dirty Harry franchise as opposed
Dirty
to that.
There you go. Yeah, Lee Van Cleef appears in 2 of them as different characters.
Yeah,
They are canonically not about the same character set in the same world. No one can tell me that, Joe from Fistful of Dollars is the same guy as Blondie from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Who is
a complete trash monster by comparison.
Are you done?
No, I'm just saying, that's just...
Calm down, Jesus. Okay, right, go. Worst, The Godfather Part 3.
I haven't seen that since it originally came out, but I wonder, can it possibly be as bad as we remember it being?
Yeah, it hasn't aged well. Sofia Coppola has not aged well. Neither has Andy Garcia. It was obviously, it's still a fairly decent film by many a measure, but still, it's going to be tough to top it. So.
Okay, best, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
I do love that movie.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah.
One that only felt like it was 2 movies.
Split up. There's a couple of parts where it drags, but I think it's satisfying. I really do think it's satisfying.
And I respect that it was 1 movie.
Yes.
Yes, I know.
Hello, The Hobbit.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, best, Back to the Future, Part 3.
Oh, I love that movie.
That was great. And what a great tangent. And I love that it pissed so many people off because it took it out west.
Yeah, who could have predicted it would become a Western series?
Yeah, and a good Western at that.
It is. It's a really good movie. Yeah, yep. I 100% would sign off on calling this a great way to end the franchise.
Okay, best, Song of the Thin Man.
I've never seen that.
I only saw the first Thin Man.
Any of these. Apparently there are 6 of them all together.
That sounds about right. I've seen the first one too, but I have not seen any other entries in that series.
Yeah.
Nick and Nora and their dog, I want to say Asta?
Asta. Yep.
Asta. There you go. That was a trivia pursuit card.
Best. Ugh, I don't agree with this. I mean, I like this movie, but it's not good.
X3.
Jurassic Park 3.
No, that's not a great way to end the franchise. It's a fun movie, but that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, is it better than Lost World? Yeah, it's a lot better than Lost World.
It's better than Jurassic World.
Well, of course it is. Yeah. That almost
Nobody's watching Jurassic World properly.
Really? There's a proper way to... What, I am fascinated.
The movie's actually like a parody of itself. And you can enjoy it. Because when we got to the point where they had the weaponized dinosaur auction, I was like, I get it.
God.
It's just a big joke.
Yeah. Well, that is Fallen Kingdom, but yes.
By properly, you mean five times the speed.
Whatever. They all blend together at some point.
No, they really do run together. It's best.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Worst. Hannibal Rising. I don't think I even knew this was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. Young
bad
Hannibal.
Bad book, really bad movie.
Yeah. Okay. I guess the less said about it, the better in that case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the show Hannibal exists, so it is completely irrelevant now, but yeah, it's a terrible movie.
Okay, worst. Jaws the Revenge.
It's so bad.
Yes. Yes. It's
so bad. Yeah, there is no excuse for Jaws the Revenge.
Jaws 3D.
Just get confused by the very idea that a shark could be out for revenge.
It is baffling.
I've had a hard time grasping that concept.
Shout out for Jamaican Mario Van Peebles, though. Come on.
Oh, I know. By the way, and that's one of the best reshoot. Oh no, he's fine.
Yeah,
the history of it. He gets bitten in half, but test audiences liked him. So when they went back to shoot the shark explosion, they're like, "What if we just throw Mario Van Peebles in a pool and say he's fine?" Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Such a terrible movie. Okay, go.
Okay, now the worst. Saw 3D.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, I really stopped.
Was that long ago?
Yeah, Saw 3D was Saw 7, right?
I don't think we've seen it.
No, we did. That's the one where Carrie Elwes comes back.
Oh, we did. Okay, yeah. So we missed... Oh, right, we missed the next one.
We missed
one.
The Sparrow Brothers one that came after, which was just called Jigsaw.
Right. Because,
You know, after Saw 3D, it kind of killed the franchise for us.
Yeah. Carrie always is in Stranger Things Season 3, and he looks amazing.
Well, you know, I noticed that when we saw the trailer for Black Christmas. That he's looking good.
So good these days, yeah.
Way to go, Carrie Elwes. You got the doughiness under control, and you're looking fine.
He shed his Val Kilmer excess.
Oh, again, the drive-bys. The drive-bys.
All right, best Ocean's 13. I don't know if I would necessarily call this a finale. They just didn't make another one.
That's true. I mean, it doesn't ever feel like they're wrapping up the franchise, but since they didn't make another one, it is. I consider that to be my favorite one of the series.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yep.
Yeah, like, it's really good. Everything about it works. It has Julian Sands.
I love him so much.
Come on,
and for as much of a statement movie as Ocean's 8 wanted to be, I enjoyed that one as well, too. Like, that would be in the upper tier for me. I really liked Ocean's 8. I mean, I tried to take away the politics of it and all and just enjoy it as a heist. And
yeah,
I just thought it was fun.
Yeah, it is a fun movie that is not undercut great. By some plot stuff that we can talk about another time.
Yes.
Right now we're here to discuss the next worst film on this list,
please.
Which is Death Wish 5, The Face of Death.
Could there be a more aptly titled film?
I know.
And having Charles Bronson's weathered mug like splattered right on the top of it, and you're like, oh,
I know.
Geez.
He's not looking great in that movie.
Mm.
They have gotten so far. And I'll say this.
world when they made this movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fascinating because the first one, like, I mean, it's more pro-vigilante than the book is, right? Because it's a movie and it stars Charles Bronson, so it's gonna be. Right? And then the second one is just a more gross remake of the first one. And then the third one is that bizarre 80s, you know, urban crackhead epidemic, terrible movie. And then the fourth one, he's just the Punisher. Like, he's just a guy who travels America shooting mobsters.
Yeah.
And then the fifth one is just like, we had this other script lying around. What if we get Charles Bronson and call it a Death Wish movie? It's just such a sad way to end the franchise.
It could have been a Rambo ending. Sorry.
Oh!
Getting ahead.
Damn! Pre-shots fired.
Oh, sorry.
Is that all of them?
Nope.
Oh, you got another one. Okay.
I got more. All right, best High School Musical 3, Senior Year.
I've never seen it. I've never seen a High School Musical. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like I'm really missing out.
The only thing, here's the only piece of trivia I have about High School Musical. It was written as Grease 3.
Really?
And the Zac Efron character was supposed to be the son of the two of them. And for whatever reason, it fell through, you know, Travolta and, I want to say, Olivia Newton-John.
Yep.
Like, for whatever reason, it just didn't happen. They aged, who knows? It
aged
didn't
out of being high schoolers at 55.
Oh, no. they were supposed to be playing, obviously, they're playing the parents, and it was going to be the whole same thing. But they were happy with the script, and so they just scratched off the words Grease 3, and they made the whole movie with the working title Untitled High School Musical. And they spent a year of development and post-production trying to come up with a title. And at some point they just said, oh, screw this, scratch the word Untitled off of it. And
that became the title of the movie. And we'll call it a day.
They're like, I don't know why we spent a year on this. All I had to do was scratch out the word Untitled. That is the true story of Untitled High School Musical.
All right, worst Beverly Hills Cop 3. Yep.
Oh, that's so bad. No,
look, Axel goes to Disney.
That is such a sad movie. Ugh, John. Yeah, what are you doing? Oh, Landis, come on.
Yep.
All right, best The Deadpool.
I really like The Deadpool. Like, I really like that movie. And it's not an ironic thing, and I mean, some of it is because I saw it when I was way too young, and I'm like, and I was able to watch it completely uncritically, and it has a lot of really troubling messages. But I just genuinely like that movie. I think it's
what
a lot of fun.
What was the one that he did that was, it was really, it was darker. It was like right around the same time as Sudden Impact. But, oh God, he went into like a sex ring.
Tightrope?
Tightrope? Maybe it was Tightrope. Yes, yeah. I think that's what it was. I thought, again, I was too young to see that one too, but that one, I was like, man, that was so much better than Deadpool was.
It was.
And darker, and I thought that would have been a much more fitting end.
Oh, God. I wish, when I watched Tightrope, when I finally saw it, because I didn't see it, you know, anywhere near when it originally came out, because, again, way too young. But I saw it years later, and I'm like, why wasn't this a Dirty Harry movie?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Oh, it so would have fit the character, fit the world, right? And it would have been a perfect way to wrap that up. Yeah, you're totally right. Yeah, Tightrope's a really good movie, and you're right, way better than Deadpool.
But Deadpool did give us Jim Carrey.
And the character Deadpool.
Yes, this is true.
All right, go.
Worst Spider-Man 3.
Well, that's fair.
No argument.
I think everything that needs to be said about that has already been said.
All right, another worst, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
That could be called saddest, just as much as it could be the worst.
Yeah, right?
It's
right?
Just such a depressing experience.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I didn't go see it.
You were smarter than the rest of us.
Yep. Worst, I don't think this is fair at all, Alien Resurrection.
That's crazy.
I know, no that way. Movie's fun. I mean,
it's not great, but it's so much fun.
It's so not the worst.
No, that is not the worst way to end a franchise.
Yeah, Covenant is.
Oh, you're so right.
And all right, that's it. Yeah, we've come to the end finally.
Okay. Well, no, that is a very interesting list because, like, there's a lot of really good observations on that. But the biggest takeaway is, how sad is it how many of these movies decided to go back to the well after wrapping up the franchise, you know? Like, after doing movies like The Bourne Ultimatum that were meant to felt distinctly like the end of a franchise.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And then, no, we're taking another bite at the apple.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And found out there was nothing left but gore.
thank
you for pretending that was clever. All right. Another genre where movie franchises tend to go on way too long is horror. Do we have an upcoming horror movie that matches that description?
We do. Because this week's upcoming horror movie is called Wounds.
Ooh. Tell me more.
Disturbing and mysterious things begin to happen to a bartender in New Orleans after he picks up a phone left at the bar.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Does it star Nicolas Cage?
It does not.
He makes a lot of movies in New Orleans.
In New Orleans. I asked. Yep.
Yeah.
Right, well, because he bought that house there that he can't afford.
Exactly.
Yep.
Did he buy the Lowry house? He has to live there.
Yeah. No, because he has to live there for like 3 months out of the year for tax reasons. You know, because he can't afford it, and it's incredibly haunted, and so he just makes two movies every year when he's down there living in that house anyway. He's a weird man. I can't imagine.
So this movie is written and directed by Babak Anvari, who made Under the Shadow, which I thought was really good.
Yeah. So,
and I did see the trailer for this, and I think it has potential.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's like, because he gets this phone, and then there's like weird shit on the phone, and then I think he starts going crazy because of it, so.
Cool.
Yeah. Interesting. So.
All right, that should be a lot of fun.
Well, we wait and see. We don't have to wait too long because it comes out, it's a Hulu original.
Oh.
Premiering on October 18, so.
Oh, just in time for
a weeks away.
Nice. All right. So we did actually watch, I mean, I know we've been on this list forever, but we did actually watch a movie this week.
Yeah.
And as suggested by the list, it was Rambo.
Of course it was.
Last Blood.
Last Blood.
Or is it?
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
I know.
It didn't happen. I was like, oh, okay. So anyway. Having been home for a while now, John Rambo has settled into life on the ranch in Arizona. All's well until his niece is trafficked, and then the movie Taken happens. Much violence ensues.
That's so true.
Taken happens until Home Alone kicks in.
Oh, man.
Does it ever?
Oh, Kevin McAllister, if you only grew up to be an emotionally hardened, booby trap wielding adult.
You know what?
He posted a photo of himself, like this really sad photo of him sitting on the couch, like in his boxer shorts, eating cereal. And it was like Home Alone Today or something like that.
That's so sad.
Is that Sylvester Stallone or Macaulay Culkin?
Macaulay Culkin.
Either way.
Either way, it's tragic.
Right.
Oh, God. But yes. Here's the thing. I consider John Rambo to be one of the best action movies ever made.
I love John Rambo. It set a benchmark for action violence. It was...
Oh, yeah.
Hadn't seen anything like it in so long. It was a real hard R at a time when they just weren't making movies like that.
Yep.
Nope.
Yeah. And so
it
I was
made
hoping
it
for-
okay to make R-rated movies again. R-rated action movies again. Like, it brought that back. And we will always love it for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was gonna have... it. What I'm saying is, those are the biggest possible shoes to fill, especially when, since we were just talking about end of franchises, that feels like such a definitive end for the character.
He returns back home. I mean, that just seems like
he has been wandering for 30 years.
Exactly, exactly. He was in Burma for crying out loud, and now he returns back to his ranch, and there's a smile. He sees the R. Rambo on the mailbox, and it just seems like, okay, he's at peace, finally, within himself. But
I guess he just had one more story to tell.
And
another strip lying around that he could try to morph into.
But also, because he spent the last 7 years or whatever it is fucking digging tunnels underneath this.
No shit, right?
Oh my god, you were not okay.
Well, again, that's exactly what just happened. In Angel Has Fallen.
Must have been taking the same YouTube lessons together.
That's so true. No, but seriously, that just happened in Angel Has Fallen, and we're expected to understand that is code for he is an emotional cripple who cannot function in society. But no, here building a giant Viet Cong tunnel complex is just he's just quirky.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It gives him somewhere to just direct his energy. Yeah. Which is good. It's an outlet. He's not hurting anyone until the end of the movie, where he hurts everybody. But
a couple of times.
It's okay.
He only digs them with the intention of hurting everyone.
That's true. You're right. Well, no, and that's part of the issue. It's like, I'm not saying that it's like he caused bad things to happen just so he could justify, his life of being a prepper. But I'm also not saying that either. Because it's like,
caused bad things to happen.
No, but at the same time, he almost welcomes it, I would argue.
Oh, he needs this to happen. Absolutely. Yeah. That's why he goes back to Mexico to entice the traffickers
to come
and get him, because he desperately needs this.
Well, I guess that's what, that's one of my, the multitude of problems there too, but from all that we've seen prior to this in all the other Rambo films, he is somebody who is, he can survive in dense forests. He can confront large number of people, due to his experiences in Vietnam. He's an expert in guerrilla warfare, in weaponry, in hand-to-hand combat. And in this one, he just kind of meanders into, swarthy Mexican, nightclub. And confronts a group of people with absolutely nothing, no plan of attack.
No plan.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And it just undercuts everything that he was as a, as a tactical soldier that he was in all of these previous films. I mean, I don't get that. It just didn't seem it fit him at all.
What especially bothered me is what is his plan here? Because you've got, that you've got the guy who kidnaps girls and delivers them to a place right there in the car with you. Get all the information out of him and then come up with a plan to deal with it. But his plan is just walk up?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, and just so many stupid things that he does throughout this.
But he even knows he's being herded. It's like you know what's happening here. This is going to end badly. Why are you seeing this through to the end, to the inevitable end, where you just get the shit kicked out of you?
Yeah.
And it goes,
and get your niece killed.
Right. There it is.
That didn't have to happen. He could have taken her to the hospital. He just didn't.
That's exactly.
She doesn't need to die for you to deserve your revenge.
Revenge. Oh, absolutely.
He has been fighting for 50 years. He hasn't taken one CPR class or,
He knows about the heroin stuff. He can't bring some naloxone with him.
Yeah, exactly.
In case she's overdosing. Seriously.
He can afford little bottles of sulfur that would shoot off and make cool flares underneath, but yet he still doesn't have.
Well, here's the thing. Hey, Dick, you don't trust her dad, but she's obsessed with finding him. Maybe just drive her down to Mexico then.
Yeah.
You don't think Mexico's safe? It'll be safe if you freaking drive. Maybe take her car. But it's like, seriously, her dad's a bad guy. Just drive her down there. Yep. She'll see her dad's a bad guy, and you'll drive her home. That'll be the whole story. But saying, no, you can't be trusted to see. No, of course she can be trusted to see him. She's got a good head on her shoulders, but she just needs to know about her dad. And that's like, you're creating these problems for yourself, John Rambo.
That's exactly it. Exactly. And it just, it seemed like that was this, this just felt like it was such a disservice to the character of it. Because I mean, I'll be the first to admit too, that I loved First Blood Part Two. I mean, I love First Blood. That was a, you know, it was a, obviously
it's a
that
good
was
movie.
A, different picture altogether,
completely different.
But I enjoyed First Blood Part Two. I thought, for what it was worth and the time that it was made, it was, it, you know, it, it brought about, it ushered in essentially, helped define action movies of that of the 80s. And you know, the less said about Rambo 3 the better. But like you both said, with John Rambo was just such a, you know, it felt like such a breath of fresh air and bloodshed. And,
oh God!
You know, and to have this kind of whimper out—I mean, I know with all the carnage at the end, it's hard to say a whimper, but it did feel like such a footnote to what is otherwise this, what we've come to expect from this character.
Yep. And the whole—I mean, like there, the movie John Rambo says so much about the franchise and the character. Like, it's about his career. It's about John Rambo, the character. It's about the changes in action movies. Like, it's about so much. This movie isn't about anything.
No, it is not. And it feels to me like this is one of those desperate grasps like The Expendables ended up being. Like, I was so hoping for some sort of reflection of age and the passing of time and how we were once so powerful, but yet we could still get the job done. And yet instead they had him do all the same stunts and action moves that they did back in the 80s heyday. But yet,
no, it's just The Expendables is just fan service the movie.
Right.
Yeah. That's what, and then they pulled that stuff in here where it doesn't belong.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe this is only me, right? And if I'm the only person who saw this, I was the only one person who distracted by this. Feel free to tell me I'm a crazy person. But was anyone else distracted by the fact that the villain was clearly Mexican Jon Snow? look at his hair, look at the beard, look at the construction of his face. That is Kit Harington as Jon Snow for the last few seasons.
That's so funny.
It's seriously, put them next to each other, you're going to have your mind blown. Apparently, no. I was the only one who was.
You were the only person.
Yeah. Yeah. I was so distracted by the ridiculous, ostentatious guns that they're all carrying. I loved it.
Oh my God!
All of those guys with their wonderfully pimped firearms.
Yeah, yeah. I will. So the one thing I will come to its defense is I feel like it's gotten a lot of press here in the States. Is the politics of it, because it. To me, I get it. It does feel dated, and this is ill-timed. But do know that this was taken from a 10-year-old story. Like, this story was posed 10 years ago, where we had a lot of – it was a very different climate under different administrations, so on and so forth. So I don't necessarily feel like that
it is as reactionary as some people are saying.
Exactly. I think they're reading a little bit too much into this, because even
I agree with that.
Even Stallone himself, I remember reading a piece that they interviewed him in Cannes at the Cannes Film Festival just recently, and he said, you know, he was the one who did the kind of the facepalm when Reagan first said, "Oh yeah, Rambo's a Republican," and he's like, "No, I'm a political atheist. I'm not into politics. I'm not smart enough for it. You know, this. I try not to make a political statement in my film, especially with Rambo. And really, when you look back on it, there's not really a running political theme. It was more about, from a soldier's point of view, it was more apolitical than anything. You know, it didn't.
Well, I mean, Rambo, First Blood is such a good movie because it is almost as powerful a statement about dehumanization in Vietnam as Full Metal Jacket.
Yep.
Because it's about what you need to turn people into in order to fight a war, and the fact that society has no use for them.
Yeah, it was closer to Coming Home.
Totally.
Than it was to, you know, a Schwarzenegger film or something.
Absolutely. So, like, it's got something to say.
Absolutely.
And I mean, the book's even worse because they're like, the book ends with him getting killed because there is no place for the thing they created in polite society. And they ended up, I'm glad they didn't do that because they did amazing things with the character in the future. But it's like, that was the mindset leading to that creation. Then you have two, which like you say, is this amazing action movie, but the politics are all over the place.
No doubt. Exactly. Yeah. And then you have three, which was with the Mujahideen, you know, those
most unfortunate
freedom fighters.
that did not age well.
No.
No, but it's fascinating to me because it's like this film, say what you will about how bad the politics in 2 and 3 got, at least they were clearly trying to say something. But you're right that this film, it's not coming out at the best time, but it's not political at all.
No, not at all.
And it doesn't need to be, though.
Absolutely.
I get, this is where we started, but we don't always have to be going over, retreading that same ground over and over again.
I agree.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's
so I like that it wasn't political. It's fine just to have, it's a revenge movie.
That's it.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. But
not a great one.
But it just felt more like a direct video. Like, it felt more like his, avenging Angelo, escape plan kind of series than it did.
Escape plan.
Right.
Have you seen the second one?
No, but
you have to.
Not
it's
good.
So bad.
It's so weird.
Was it 50 Cent in that one?
Oh, you know, they're all back. Like, Keane's 50 Cent and Jamie King, they're all back.
And Dave Bautista.
They've added Dave Bautista.
He's in the latest one. Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't in the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, I have not seen Escape Plan, but I mean, it feels like this feels more like one of his direct-to-video. In fact, I will go on the record and saying he made one, I don't know if you all had seen it, have you seen Bullet to the Head?
Yes.
With Walter Hill. I love that movie.
We adored Bullet to the Head.
Yes.
It's so
and
good.
That to me, that was, get Walter Hill back behind the helm.
Yep.
And have him do have him send off Rambo. I think he would have been able to do much more with it than I don't even know the director's name on this one, but he obviously didn't understand the character, you know.
No, and I don't know, like you say, who the hell knows what that script looked like a decade ago?
Yeah.
But, I don't even feel, you watch this movie and you don't even feel Stallone's hands as a scriptwriter on it.
No, not at all. No.
There's none of the depth or sensitivity he brought to John Rambo.
And it's not even shot well. I mean, there's just a lot of, there's one scene, there was an aerial scene that I recall, and maybe you recognize it there, but it wasn't even color corrected to go with the rest of it. It seemed really, really.
I think they just bought stock footage. I think they just bought stock footage instead of hiring a helicopter.
Really, that, and then when he was, the tension, he spent, as you said, DM, he spent the last 7 years digging these tunnels. So, I get it. That's fine. So that would be a cool way, at least, to have some sort of tension being built, almost like Alien, where, they're roaming through this and you can still, but no, he zips through there like Roadrunner. And you get this hypercut of him just slicing and dicing everyone with such ease that there's never any.
No threat, no danger.
None.
As you say, the ending of this movie is basically a supercut of itself.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That having been said, we loved it.
I did love all of the violence at the end.
Oh,
yes.
Sure. Yeah.
And so did the people sitting behind us.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Yeah. I mean, outside of the Saw franchise, there's not too many clavicles being ripped out from somebody.
Or those three blades, the two blades that cut a man's face into three pieces. Jesus.
Yeah.
I love how we have to slow down.
Yeah.
And just sit in that moment.
I know. Let's just look at this effect. We're very happy with how this turned out.
Yes.
But they don't even, it doesn't even, aside from his ultra flashy gun discharge, I mean, there's not much that really elevates that scene. Okay, let's play a classic Doors film. you know, and maybe that was a shout out to the Vietnam era. I don't know.
It just didn't do it well.
Yeah, it really, really felt like it was rushed and 90 minutes long, but it felt like an eternity. And we have all these new characters that we're supposed to care about, but they don't even take the time to develop any of them. Like, who is this housekeeper woman?
I don't know. Like, I spent the whole movie saying, who is this housekeeper?
Yeah.
What's her relation to everybody?
But the relation, so that's his niece. So that must
be. Yeah, that's his baby sister's. He had a baby sister. They show a picture of her. They show a photoshopped picture of her with him with a woman who's like 15 years younger than him, who's obviously his baby sister.
I guess. And then the elderly woman is her paternal grandmother.
Oh, that's she? Is.
Yes.
Okay, that wasn't clear to me.
It wasn't clear. No. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the relationship there.
And so it's her son who's the complete dirtbag.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That wasn't clear at all to me.
No, none of it was. None of it was. And that's why, you know, there were no emotional stakes in anyone dying in this, because it was obviously Rambo. After a while, you realized he was the only one that was going to survive, even down to the end where, again, you had this parting shot where he's talking about mortality and
he's gonna die. I was ready for him to die in that rocking chair.
You call it?
Oh, I thought he was going to.
And then it's like, oh no, I guess he's okay, because he like gets on his horse and rides off
into the sunset.
You call it last blood, and yet you have him.
But he still clearly hasn't bled his last blood because.
No, it's I mean, as much as I might have enjoyed, and I won't pretend I didn't enjoy the, you know, symphony of gore, what Rob is saying is right. Like, that could have been shot so much better and paced so much better. It's like you're just watching the awesome kill shots, but that's all you're there to do. Like,
well, I have to wonder if this script was maybe written for a different movie.
That's exactly right? What I thought when I saw it. It was like one of those things, kind of like we were saying earlier with A Sudden Impact in Deadpool, where you feel like this one was kind of sitting around for a while, and maybe this one, maybe even, you know, it was a reverse of the John Rambo in this one, where maybe this one was shot in between there, and he was so fed up with still the existence of being in the States that caused him to move to Burma to say, okay, I'm finally going to, you know what I mean? Like, that seems to me, like, chronologically, that would have made such a better transition. And the carnage that took place in that, it just seems like that would have been the epic send-off for this franchise.
Yeah, no, it doesn't feel like the last Rambo movie.
No, because he rides off at the end.
Yeah.
No, but I think fundamentally, if you want to make the definitive last, and this is what it comes down to, and this is why John Rambo is so satisfying, this is why this thing fails, because if you want, like, if you're going to acknowledge that you're making the last Rambo movie, you have to end it by saying something about Rambo. And not just show a montage from the other
films. That remind us of better films. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
totally. No, I think they made the effort, because, he like dug all of these ridiculous tunnels under his property. But then he has his conversations with his niece about what it means and who he is. And she's like, you're not that person anymore. He's like, no, I'm still that person. I'm just trying to keep a lid on it. So he is he still has that inside of him. He's just redirected that energy into his tunnel digging initiatives. So like the movie, I don't want to say paid lip service, but sort like does attempt to bring
You're right. It understands that it should be doing that.
And then the whole family thing, it's like, well, this is another place for him to direct his energies. And it's like, no, like there are good things left in this world for you. You came home and you discovered that you have this family that you can take care of, and that, you know, you can learn to love again, and you'll have someone who loves you and all that stuff. And then it gets taken away, partly your own fault. But
mostly your own fault.
But then they're not exactly. But then why not take that initial time that we had to have us be able to invest in these characters? He was saying, part of my mind and soul got lost along the way. The only family I have ever known, but we don't know them. We have no idea who these people are. Like, you know, Count, you and I were sitting there going, who the hell is this Mexican woman who's, you know, mixing soup for him when he comes back? And yet, you know, we have, everyone tells the daughter not to go there. So, and when she does, we're like, yeah, well, you know what? You're kind of asking for it because everyone told you what a creep this guy is. Mm-hmm. And within a heartbeat, she gets not only hooked on heroin, but also is sold into sex. I mean, it was like, what yeah. horrible things can we have happen to her all at once? You know yeah. what I mean? Like it was it all. So I just have no idea. And I don't think the movie does. What it was about, it just felt yeah. lazy and well, slapped together
again because oh, yeah. another reason why I think this was the script wasn't meant to be a Rambo story because he's farfaring back and forth to Mexico, which wastes a lot of time in the movie, and yeah. then there's this interlude with the journalist who clearly is set yeah. up to be a bigger character in this film
yeah. yep
so
and then just disappears
and it's yeah she takes care of him and that's the end of her. We don't hear from her ever again. So like
nope.
Yeah, another reason why I don't think this was a Rambo movie from the yeah. get-go.
Well, and again, that ties in as well with all the stupid mistakes he was making. I was just thinking of another one aside from the ones that we had said too. When he witnesses the one woman wearing his daughter's bracelet or when his niece's bracelet,
and she was so much that he let her go.
Well, not only let her go, but she was also the one to say, "Oh, it was he. He's the one who took him. He's the one." And she just believed him. Like, obviously, this woman's a thief, so who knows if she's a liar. But he totally he followed what she said.
Credulously believes it right away.
And he's in a dimly lit nightclub, and all of a sudden, it's like, okay, that's the guy. I'm going to destroy him. And it's just one of those – it was a mistake that the original John Rambo would have been much more tactical about and not just lumbering into
totally.
It. Yeah.
But he does wield that hammer.
Yeah. He does, like, yeah. Oh, yeah, when he boy. Hammers those guys to
like
death.
Boy. Yep.
Wow.
Oh, man.
My final takeaway for the movie is, and I don't know who made this mistake, but it's like, here's the thing. He goes into this this cartel guy's house, right? And he murders, and he brutally stabs all of his guards to death, and then he goes to murder him while he's sleeping, then he hears that he's in the shower. And... Mm. I don't know who made this stupid decision, but when the brother, and we don't see what happens. Then when the brother comes home, right? Why isn't he lying there? And I don't want to make this sound too gruesome. Why isn't he lying there in bed naked with his genitals cut off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his
yeah.
head missing. Why yeah. did Rambo fully dress him in clothes yeah. before cutting yeah. his head off? No.
Because that should be a naked. Two things are shot at different times.
Yep, there you go.
No, but it's like that corpse had to, based on everything the setup and everything Rambo feels about this guy, yeah. he should be there naked with his genitals cut off and his head missing.
If yeah. you can take your time to essentially gut a man to show him his own heart.
You can cut off this man's penis
yes,
while
exactly.
he's alive. You
exactly.
absolutely can.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And I know that's a gruesome thing to say, nope. but it absolutely belonged in this movie.
Oh, it did.
Totally.
Okay, good. I thought I was getting too bleak. Thank you for backing me on this one, guys.
Oh, no.
You're with you.
All right. Okay. Does anyone else have any final takeaways?
I just feel like this was like your grandpa asking you to wrestle, you know, trying to prove he still has strength, you know,
aww.
And it just, it felt like a human embodiment of Bruce Springsteen's Glory Days song. It just, it
yeah.
felt like they were grasping at something that is just not there. And you should have just gone for the emotional heft of it yeah. as opposed to whatever. You
Well, and I mean, I'll say this, the Creed movies are doing a much better job of saying goodbye to Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
And this is of saying goodbye to John Rambo.
Yep.
All right. DM?
I liked it. I had a good time at the movies.
You did?
I did. Lots of violence. It's what I wanted. And it's what I got. So.
There we go.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. So now, do we have any narcissism to watch?
Not me.
This week, I told everyone to buy the game I'm in, right? Yeah, I did.
Yep.
I already did that. Okay. Then no new stuff.
I have October 1st. Go on to Revival House Theater on the Facebook page, and we will be going live with a line of dialogue and an item to be included for our annual horror trailer challenge.
Very excited.
Ooh. Yes. 7 days after that in which to complete the film. October 8th is when we is the deadline for accepting. and $1,500 to give away. So,
damn. All right, people.
Okay. All right.
Go to that Facebook page.
We had a good one last year. What are we going to do?
See what we can do this time.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Can't wait.
We're excited.
This should be fun. All right. So, is there any other way to get in touch with us?
You can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment there and tell us what you thought about Rambo Last Blood. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If you're listening on an app, give us 5 stars.
Damn it.
We've earned it.
We totally have. Or at least like
right.
4.5.
What do we have to do? We have to come to your house, people. Because I'm not about that.
I will come to your house and take your phone and do it for you.
I'm going to encourage you people to do all of those things. So until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching. Oh, god damn it, me.
I forgot about Turbo Haze here.
I forgot about Turbo Haze.
Just like John Rambo, you left me. You're leaving me just like John Rambo did. I'm going to go with the rest of the Freedom Force. Goodbye.
Have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.